Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have once again tuned in to the greatest pro wrestling podcast in the world today. This is Ringside Chaos, and you all know who I am. But let me welcome back one of the co-hosts of the Great Girth Podcast, a well-educated and knowledgeable and passionate wrestling fan. Ladies and gentlemen, one of Colorado's finest, Tony Trujillo. Tony, how you doing, brother?
I've been busy today, dude. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I woke up early as shit to do another podcast with somebody else this morning, and I've been running errands, dude. Little man's appointment, so I literally just got home. That's why I'm doing this on my phone, and my laptop's fucked. So aside from that, I'm doing good.
Well, it's good to hear, and, you know, of course, this episode is going to be, you know, this is for your son. This is for your son. This is for Junior. So, Tony, I know you know heard the news, but Okada, the Rainmaker, is All Elite.
Finally,
and the debut didn't go the way I expected, but not in a bad way. But dude, the way it happened, I like it.
I love it because you wouldn't expect anything less. So it makes sense that they're going in that direction. I get why people don't like the Young Bucks. I like them. I don't like that they were champions, but here's my only concern with it. Like, my only real gripe is that they chose to do it on Dynamite.
Right.
It should have been at Revolution or at Big Business, something, but I have a feeling that there's a reason they didn't do it at Big Business, and I think that's because they don't want it to overshadow a potential Mercedes Moné.
Right.
Dude, I have my doubts, but I also don't. Anyway, off topic. I just feel that the way it was executed was a little, like, the decision-making was funky, but I liked it. Like, it was, I thought he was there to help Kingston. Like, I really believe that shit, but.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, then it happens, and you're like, and I see what we're doing here.
He pulls the swerve. And I think I know why they didn't do it at Revolution, because the Young Bucks were in the main event, so they couldn't have Okada attempt to overshadow Sting, so I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm not – okay, you see, this sets up a huge potential feud, because the Young Bucks cut a promo. They fire Kenny Omega. They kick him out of the Elite. Now, for those of you that don't know, Kenny Omega is currently recovering from a serious illness. We don't know when he'll be back, but he'll be back. So since the Young Bucks have basically turned on Omega, kicked him out of the Elite, and Okada takes his spot, what does that set up for the future, Tony?
I think, personally, because I was wondering that too, is what role is Okada going to play moving forward? Like, how involved is he going to be in the Elites or Super Elite, whatever? I think it's going to lead up to Omega coming back and not being pleased with his two buddies. Potentially, dude, there's going to be a story that's going to be months long where he's fucking around with the Young Bucks trying to get back at them. But I think it's going to lead to him being like, you know what? That motherfucker that's standing where I'm supposed to be, that's going to be my guy. I just don't think it's going to happen until he has a champion of worth. Unless they decide not to go that route, which, in my opinion, would be better. I don't want champions being at stake for this one. I think this would be perfect for just hypothetical, all right? A year of terror. A year of the Young Bucks and Okada just ruining everybody's lives. Nobody wants them there. It's the corporation all over again.
Nah.
Omega comes out and is like, nah, this is ending. And then we set up for a big pay-per-view match. Maybe we'll get him versus the Young Bucks first, or one of each, vice versa. Or honestly, man, I could see it being something where Omega comes back with a certain group of old friends, you know, old members, or even newer members. I mean, even they had the whole goofy Golden Jets thing going. So maybe Jericho and Guevara back him. But I definitely see Omega being the guy that's going to come in and maybe not necessarily topple that empire, but who else, honestly? I mean, why else would they go with the whole, oh, Kenny, you're fired? Like, that was clearly meant for something.
Right.
Unless, you know, they were just having fun, but it was clearly meant to set something up. And I do believe that's what we're going to get. And if not Kenny Omega, probably Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I don't see why, but he's going to return soon. He's injured, but he's not supposed to be out for years on end. So,
no, MJF is just on a sabbatical.
Yeah, like he's coming back, and that might be it. I feel like that's only for box office momentum.
Right.
It wouldn't make sense, dude. It really wouldn't make sense. I mean, I guess, again, if they waited a couple months, like at the very least 6 months, 6 months of torment, show stealing, cheating, just turning that fucking company upside down on TV, of course. And then MJF would come back in and be like, all right, dude, I think I speak for everyone else when I say this is stupid. Like, we're going to end this. And it would make sense then, yeah. But I just think Kenny Omega would be perfect, considering that he's their best friend. Or, you know.
Right. Because of the history between Omega and the Young Bucks. But the thing is, this is going to lead to another blockbuster match between Omega and Okada. We have seen this before numerous times. These guys, Okada and Omega in Japan, have had so many epic battles and so many epic wars. Their match they had in 2018 is often considered the greatest match in history.
Right.
Dude, Okada has had, I mean, the fact is he's one of Japan's top. I mean, the feud with Tanahashi, the feud with Omega, everything, man, everything. And because every time it's been so good, they're going to take it now on a whole different level. And this time, who knows how the circumstances will go.
Well, if it's not going to be Omega and Okada, then maybe, potentially, we could see like a Will Ospreay and Okada type of deal. I just don't want to throw Will Ospreay into that right away. I kind of like where they're going with him. Don't do the typical AEW cliche, which is you take a big star from somewhere and you throw him right into the main event picture or right into the title. So, like, I would like to see Will Ospreay and him at one point, yeah. Right now is definitely too soon. I think it's almost too soon for him to have a match right away. I really think that they would be smart if they played it out where he is, like, kind of the head honcho that's running things and they're his henchmen. Like, wouldn't it be funny, dude? I was watching this shit, and wouldn't it be fucking hilarious if we got a gimmick where he's supposed to be the new guy in the gang that's essentially replacing Kenny Omega? How funny would it be, though, if they were afraid of him? Like, they were going to try to boss him around and shit, and then he kind of puts them in their place, and they're like, oh, shit, yes, sir. And they're fucking, the Young Bucks are then, like, shackled to him. Now, that would be a really good twist, too. And then Omega comes to their aid or something, but I doubt that. I can see this whole EVP storyline has a purpose. It's going to be a while before this is broken up. This is going to be probably a year-long story or maybe even longer.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't know how long Omega is going to be out. And we talk about Will Ospreay, and we will get to Will Ospreay. But the way I see it right now, you know, okay, first of all, as we know, the AEW tag team titles are vacated. There will be a tournament. So here's an early prediction. The tournament final, I believe, is going to be the Young Bucks versus FTR. Because we talk about history between Omega and Okada, though there's more history for you right there. The Young Bucks and FTR. FTR lead the all-time series 2-1. The Young Bucks, the first time those two teams went at it, the Young Bucks took the titles. And the FTR have won two straight. So I believe the final is going to be the Young Bucks versus FTR, and the Young Bucks will be the new tag team champions. Just to strengthen up the elite, to prepare for the whole thing with Okada. But as you mentioned with Okada, I mean, like you said, they don't need to have a champion versus champion thing with him and Omega when it happens, because again, there's been so many matches with Omega and Okada. They don't need to be champions to make the match good, because they make the matches great because they work well. But then again, the story has to make sense as well. Omega and Okada always work well, but still the story needs to be told well. But I think they're basically starting a program now where the Young Bucks are basically trying to be like how powerful they are. I mean, you know, basically. So as far as Maxwell Jacob Friedman goes, part of me says that when he comes back, he needs to finish the story with Adam Cole. And I really like what they're doing with Adam Cole. He's still hurt, but you know, he's leading the Undisputed Kingdom, which I really love. You know, Swerve Strickland. I mean, I know we're going off topic, but there's so much. This is why the AEW Dynamite after Revolution was so epic. I mean, Swerve Strickland turns babyface.
It was a really good show. It was the first Dynamite in the last like year or two. About a year. It was the first Dynamite in a whole year that I actually sat there and watched everything bit for bit. Match, promos, because typically I'll watch the first minute or two of a match, and if I'm just not feeling it, I fast forward. Or if I don't give a fuck to see it, fast forward.
Right.
Promos, but that one, it was a good show. I mean, even that Will Ospreay and Fletcher match was amazing.
Unfortunately, it didn't get the 800,000 buy rate because, you know, a lot of people, you know, I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook. Everybody's just ripping Tony Khan and AEW and New One because it failed to live to the hype because even though Okada was there and the whole thing with the everything, like, it should have been high. I mean, look, it was still a great show. And I'm telling you, you know, the fact that Ospreay, technically, I don't think it's I'm not sure if it's exactly his first official match on Dynamite. I think it's his first official match as a full-time member of AEW. Because remember, Will Ospreay's been involved with AEW since 2022. And as we know, he signed originally in November, but he had to finish his commitments with New Japan. But Will Ospreay's been with AEW for a while. I mean, that rivalry with Omega involving the former IWGP US Championship, which is no longer active. I believe there was one match where Omega beat Ospreay, and then Ospreay won the title back and won an epic match that was. Yeah. Ospreay's great match with Jericho at Wembley Stadium. So, and the point is, Ospreay has already done a lot for AEW, but now that he's like full-time All Elite, now things are really going to get started. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I'm telling you, that match with Konosuke Takeshita. Dude, it's matches like that. I not only stand up, I applaud, but I have tears in my eyes, man. That's pro wrestling to me.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of Will Ospreay, especially with Okada around. It's a given that we're going to see that. Unfortunately, the first victim will be Eddie Kingston.
My hero, Eddie Kingston.
Well, it's a given that they're going to most likely do Okada and Kingston. They even made that little reference to the Continental Classic belt. Now, I don't think it'll escalate that far to where they want to strip Kingston of the belt. But who knows? I mean, I also just don't see them making Okada lose right away either. I kind of foresee him having a winning streak for quite a while.
It would be catastrophic for him to lose. But, speaking, I mean, you see, there's so many potential stuff. You know, Okada and Kingston. You know, I mean, I imagine Ospreay and Kingston. And Tony, this is really funny, but people still get mad at me that they don't like it when I say Ospreay is the greatest wrestler in the world. I mean, look, at first they're mad, but then when I say, but then again, if it wasn't for AJ Styles, we probably wouldn't have a Will Ospreay, now would we?
Well, those
at the same time, I credit AJ Styles, but because AJ Styles is becoming of age, you know, I'm not saying AJ Styles is washed up. I'm not bearing AJ Styles by any means. A while back, I would say AJ Styles was the greatest in the world.
He's still the greatest wrestler of all time, but Will Ospreay is the hottest one right now. Like, the people that bitch about Will Ospreay are the same people that think that Bianca Belair is a good wrestler when you can't even compare the two.
The way I see it. Ospreay is the greatest wrestler in the world today. AJ Styles is the greatest of all time, although personally, even though Eddie Kingston is my hero, I mean, you know what? I would say AJ Styles and Eddie Kingston, they're both on top of the mountain for me. And Jericho, of course, because Jericho is also my hero. So Jericho, Kingston, and AJ Styles, they're both the three greatest of all time. And Will Ospreay is the best in the world today. No offense, CM Punk.
Will Ospreay is definitely the best right now. AJ Styles to me is the greatest of all time, but Chris Jericho is my personal favorite. Like, I've always loved Jericho. Him and Triple H have always been my favorites, man. Like, I love the two. Those, I was the guy that rooted for the bad guy usually. When I was a kid, I rooted for Jericho. I didn't like Cena. I mean, I liked him. I got tired of Cena, man. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, 2 years later of him being champion, I was like, all right, I'm getting old with this. Like, come on, let's. Someone new, and then they bring the whole Jericho rivalry in, and I was like, love Jericho, like, perfect. And, of course, he wasn't going to win, but I've always been a diehard Jericho fan, man. Like, and I love everything about him, dude. I love his music. I love that he's a fanatic. He's been in a few short, like, low-budget horror films, specifically one I can name off the top of my head, Terrifier 2, which I love. He's at the very end as a security guard. Like, I love that Jericho is, like, a hardcore horror head, because I am, too. And then he's like a metalhead, and like same here. I love metal music, man. Like, there's so much about the guy to like, and I get why people don't like him because he was allegedly a Trump supporter or whatever. But who gives a fuck? Like, come on, you know.
We'll send Jericho to hell for being, you know, for having a freaking opinion.
Yeah.
When you mentioned Jericho, I mean, the Painmaker gimmick he introduced in Japan when he had that rivalry with Okada, the Painmaker versus the Rainmaker. See, that's creative genius, and go back to Ospreay. I mean, the match with Takeshita was great. His first match, you know, with former pupil, I think, with the Aussie Open, and I believe he was part of the United Empire, Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah. I would like to see Okada and I just forgot his fucking name. We were just talking about him too. God damn it, Sammy Guevara. I would actually like to see that. I think that would be an interesting match. Strong
definitely
style.
Definitely would.
Flying. And this is a little off topic, but
speaking of Guevara, he's actually suspended. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, and it's off topic. Look, because see, people got on me because I've defended Guevara in the past. Yeah, he's a fellow Texan. I mean, okay. At the same time, he did make a mistake, but Hardy was hurt. But then again, like, well, shouldn't the referee? I mean, did the referee intervene? I mean, I don't think Guevara is the only one at fault.
Well,
now, Guevara, unfortunately, does have a history of, okay, I'll just say of messing up during matches, but guess what? He's not the only one.
Yeah, so, they all do it.
And at the same time, do you even know what it's, people don't know what it's like to work a wrestling match.
I can tell people that firsthand. I've been in a ring.
And they like to rip Sammy Guevara a new one as if they know wrestling. Sammy Guevara undergoes maneuvers that most of us would be even too scared to even try. At first, we'll say, "Oh, I can do it." We get on top of the turnbuckle. We become sissies. Sammy Guevara is man. I mean, like I said, a real life embodiment of the superhero Nightwing. Which, for those who don't know, Nightwing is the original Robin.
Whether I like a wrestler or not, I have to give credit to anyone that steps in a ring and performs in that ring, because that ring hurts and sucks. Okay. It can really bring your morale down when you sit there thinking you can do it and you can't take those bumps. Like, you gotta have respect for people that do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I have respect for Roman Reigns. I don't like him. You know,
Speaking of Reigns, I got an argument because see, this guy believes he's the best wrestler in the world today, but he doesn't like Ospreay. I'm like, dude, it's not even worth arguing. Like, first of all, if you're only there part time,
you're not a wrestler.
Roman Reigns isn't even worth wasting time on. But no, if you think Roman Reigns is better than Ospreay, you don't even watch pro wrestling or you don't even follow wrestling.
Well, yeah, I know WWE fans get mad, but I'm like, bro, if you just watch WWE, that's not wrestling, because it's all the same. You can say the same thing about AEW if you just watch AEW. Like, bro, you're not a real wrestling fan. Wrestling is all things wrestling. It's okay to dislike stuff, but to sit there and shit on it and try to pretend like this is the end-all be-all, that's fucking silly, dude. It's like, here's a good comparison. WWE is the Apple product. Every other promotion is the Android product, whereas I say that because even though I have an iPhone.
Android. Well, I don't know if it's an Android, but no, I've never been an iPhone guy.
Well, think of it like this. for one thing, right? You have to go to an Apple store for everything. Nothing is universal. Whereas with an Android phone, it's typically universal. There's a bunch of companies that are doing it. You really can't say one is better than the other just because one makes more money. Like, no, that's just because a lot of people are pandered to. A lot of people like the shiny, flashy product versus the one that has a lower budget or does things differently. And yeah, dude, I use that example because it's perfect, even though I'm an iPhone guy. I had an Android when I was younger. I liked it, but I never had an iPhone. And then when I got an iPhone, I just fell in love with it. But that's a great example. I mean, you really can't say one is better than the other because they all do the same shit. It's just one happens to be the bigger name because they make more money. So fuck what? Like,
and WWE they do better with the storylines. AEW does better with the matches.
Well, and back to what we were saying about, like, you know, wrestling and all that, like with Roman Reigns, like, dude, there is a big difference between a wrestler and an in-ring performer. There's a huge
big time.
Yeah, there's a big difference, dude. Fucking, I hate to say this because I like Logan Paul. He's an in-ring performer. He's not there full time. He's not taking as many bumps. He kind of is more of an in-ring attraction. There we go. Instead of in-ring performer, in-ring attraction. He's an in-ring attraction, but he is
a draw. Yeah,
he's a draw. He brings in money, but if he were to focus on it full time, I have no doubt in my mind that he would be a great wrestler because he is pretty much one of two celebrities, well, three, that I can name that are actually good at it. Yeah, dude, Logan Paul, David Arquette, and fucking Bad Bunny are the only celebrities I've ever known that actually took it seriously and did it. And so, you know, but they're still in-ring performers because they're not doing it full-time. So, to me, Roman Reigns is an in-ring performer. He's not a good wrestler.
I mean, you can't even put Roman Reigns at the same level as Will Ospreay. I mean, okay. I mean, again, like I always say, I don't even remember the last time I saw a Roman Reigns match that I got that I stood up and I applauded. Because let's be honest, has he had one? I mean, again, I don't mean to be that guy, but seriously, because then again, it just boggles my mind that people believe Reigns is better than Ospreay. And then people say, well, you're biased, Ospreay. You think Ospreay's the best in the world today? I'm like, because I've watched his matches. I've watched the matches with Omega. I've seen the stuff he did when he was leading the United Empire in Japan. I have watched, I have studied Will Ospreay's work. I've watched Kenny Omega's matches. I've watched the matches. I'm not just saying that because I'm taking somebody else's side. I do my homework, for goodness sake.
Well, yeah, WWE is the product that is definitely in-house. It's meant to be. We groom it, we style it, it's ours. There is nothing outside of WWE. Whereas a lot,
I can't believe Bryan Danielson too is one of the best in the world. Is one of the best of all time too. I can't even believe I left that out. And speaking of Bryan Danielson, what did he do after at the end of the Dynamite? Yeah. Confronted so Will Ospreay. There you go. Another potential match. And I think this match is going to be, I mean, I don't know if Bryan Danielson, is he, I mean, I don't know if he's a babyface or a heel. I think it's kind of in between.
Yeah.
Either way, they're going to have a great match, and it wouldn't be surprising if Bryan Danielson puts Ospreay over. Because I feel like the way Bryan Danielson puts wrestlers over now, he stays over as well.
Yeah, he does.
Because he's solidified. He knows. Like that, I'm only worried that he can stay healthy. But then again, the injury history, what he's, you know, he's, he, I mean, Bryan Danielson is over more than one decade long veteran. So he's been in the business for like what, well over 20 years now.
I'd kill to see Ospreay and Moxley like that because it's two classic styles.
Oh,
they're very different, but they would clash perfectly, man. Like, Moxley would put the beat down on Ospreay. Ospreay would get the win from his technicality. It would be like a phenomenal fucking match, man. That would be one where they have to bleed.
Look at all the potential stuff that makes AEW exciting. I mean, this episode's about Okada, but I'm telling you, like, the fact that Okada is now in AEW will be bringing everything else that's happening. I mean, think of everything. Because now that, I mean, Okada, from what I'm saying, he held talks in WWE, but I'm like, dude, there's, if I'm him, I'm sure I've said this on the show, if I'm him, WWE is not even an option. Do you want to go to an entertainment company or do you want to go to a pro wrestling company?
Right. Do you want to have dream matches or do you want to have scripted matches? I mean, I guess that's not
or not, do you want to just basically, like I said, do you want to just perform or do you want to actually go there out there and fight? See, New Japan, now New Japan, That environment right there, now, it's what's the word? It's choreographed, yeah, the storylines, but still, New Japan entertains, but on the very serious category. Not like making funny stuff or, you know, just to make the crowd laugh and, like, to make this a joke, make it cheesy. That's not pro wrestling. That's just entertainment.
Right. Like, do you want to be an entertainer or a wrestler? Do you want to be in show business or do you want to be in the wrestling business?
Do you want to be a real life character, a real life action figure, a real life, like, comic book character?
It's not to shit on WWE either, because those guys do their asses off as wrestlers. It's they happen to be in the business that's more Hollywood based than anything.
Right.
I'm not shitting on them as performers. Like, but you could just tell the difference between the two. There's a major difference, especially because AEW's matches are a little more brutal, more technical, longer. Some of them are a little too long, if you ask me, but that's why I enjoy that. But then I enjoy WWE.
It's to kind of live in how it was back then, because Ric Flair, back in his days, I mean, he used to wrestle hour matches almost every night with Piper, with Dusty Rhodes. I mean, matches that were anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour were basically routine because people pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, back in the day, now that we live in such
a world. See, I think Ric Flair said, Ric Flair basically said, like, you know, when Hulk Hogan kind of became the man, you know, Ric Flair explained, I mean, nothing against Hulk, but Hulk, I think he said something about, you know, people, they don't know what it's like, how back then I would have to wrestle for at least an hour.
Yeah. I mean, look at fucking, I always forget what WrestleMania it is. Macho Man and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, man. Long match, but fucking phenomenal.
How about HBK versus the Hitman and that Iron Man match?
That one is a good one. Another long one. Well, not too long, but relatively long. I think it was WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. Ladder match for the Intercontinental title. First ever ladder match in WWE. Awesome match. Long as shit, but well-deserved.
Well-deserved, yeah.
I do miss a lot of the longer matches from WWE. I wish they would kind of take note and do that. Like, the mid-card matches are already short, right? So then cut the promos down a little bit to make the main event longer. Or, like, it's concerning to me when I can see that there is 10 minutes left of TV time and they're still walking to the ring. That tells you what fucking match you're going to get. And that, especially when it's a 20-minute mark, you're like, dude, it's going to take 10 minutes for these entrances, another 5 for the announcements and shit, and then we're going to have some silly action the first minute or two, and then we'll finally get into it. And then it fucking ends. And you're like, well, that was pointless. There are some matches that should be longer, too. WWE is known for this. They have matches that should be way longer than they actually are. I'd say 15 minutes is a pretty standard match nowadays. Well, I guess like 10 now, but 15 is pretty standard. Anything over, I think you can consider a longer match, but that 45-minute mark to an hour is for sure a long fucking match.
It's no longer necessary, honestly. Now, more often than not, it's not necessary, but I think sometimes it may be. I mean, Omega and Ospreay, in that when Ospreay took back the IWGP, I mean, well, I think that match was like, 45 minutes? But the match was great. But sometimes you just don't know if it's necessary to go that long. In my honest opinion, a main event should be no less than 20 minutes, but no more than 30 minutes.
Right. Like,
it's like a movie. Like, it's a thriller. The heel, it's like, you know, the heel looks like he's going to pull off the win. The babyface, you know, rallies. It's like a thriller film. The babyface, you know, rallies when all hope seems lost and he wins.
So, here's a good question. With Okada, do you think he's better as a heel or a babyface? I got introduced.
That's a very, very good question because, you know, Tommy Dreamer, I think, gave his thoughts on it. And as we know, from what I understand, Okada, during his time in Japan, he was a babyface for most of his run. When he was feuding with Tanahashi from 2012 to 2016, I don't recall if he was the heel or the face. Because I swear, Tanahashi to me never struck me as the kind of talent that would go to being a heel. That's just the beauty of the magic from Japanese wrestlers. I mean, some of them you can even tell they're better as a heel, some better as a face, but some of them it's just like, I don't know if I can see this guy being heel. I don't know if I can see this guy being a face. But that's the beauty of professional wrestling, because when it comes to Maxwell Jacob Friedman, I never thought he would turn face, you know, during the program, you know, teaming with Adam Cole. So, but to answer your question, man, I think because we probably, I mean, has it been a while since we've seen the villainous side of Okada? Like, how long has it been?
I don't know, because I got introduced to him a few years ago.
Me too. You see, I got introduced to him when Chris Jericho was working in Japan starting in 2017, 2018, when Jericho introduced the Painmaker gimmick, because again, Okada's the Rainmaker. So I believe Jericho said in an interview that when he first went there, he wanted to work with Tanahashi, but Gedo, which I believe I said, who's the booker, who's also a performer for New Japan, but he's also the booker, he felt it was better for Jericho to work with Okada. I mean, it worked out well either way. I mean, whether Jericho worked with Okada or Tanahashi, there's no doubt in my mind it would have been great. And I'm not just saying that because Chris Jericho is one of my heroes, but honestly, like that. But I think for now, seeing the villainous side of Okada is necessary. But problem is, like I said, I got introduced to Okada several years ago. So, and it's very hard to keep up with New Japan programming, but...
It is, man. I can't watch.
So for now, I'm going to embrace his heel side, and I think when the time is right, if he turns face, well, I mean, I should say when he turns face, we'll see how it goes. But right now, I'm going to embrace the heel side.
Yeah, I mean,
you saw him in a suit. That was actually pretty interesting. I mean, you know, see him, you know, now kind of basically a heel, like in a suit, part of the Elite. That was pretty interesting.
Right. I've always known him as a heel just because that's how I was introduced to him. But then I looked at his past stuff, and he was a babyface for a while, too. So that's why I'm like, well, I mean, he can definitely do both, because he is one of those rare examples where more is not always great. Like, he's very quiet, typically.
Right.
Himself a different way. He's kind of one of those, like, this is a really weird comparison, but... In a way, he's like a Steve Austin, where he could be a good guy or a bad guy, and people are still going to like him. Because he's
an anti-hero, yeah. A vigilante anti-hero.
Yeah, he's still just going to be the same guy. Just his actions will be different. That's essentially it. So, I mean, he could definitely do both, but for this storyline, heel is the way to go. I think that eventually he'll turn on the Young Bucks, for sure. Maybe that'll be the baby
face. Although they'll turn on him. Well, you know, think about it. Okada. Okada sounds more like a bad guy name to me. Matt, I mean think about it. Tanahashi versus Okada. You kind of can tell one sounds more like the good guy and the other sounds like the bad guy. Like take X-Men, for example. Wolverine versus Sabretooth. Who sounds more like the villain?
Right, exactly.
Right. Although I can't... I don't know if I should say that Tanahashi and Okada is kind of like an X-Men rivalry. I mean... Some would say, like, compare Cyclops versus Mr. Sinister. I mean, well, that's obvious. Mr. Sinister is the villain. Mr. Sinister, does that sound good guy material to you?
Right.
You can't be a good guy and call yourself Mr. Sinister.
Shit, I'm a late bloomer with Tanahashi. I didn't know who he was until AEW, so I had to go look at his shit. And he's
That's just how difficult it is to keep up with New Japan programming.
Yeah, once they introduce someone from another company that I've never heard of them, I have to kind of go look and see. Like, right now, I'm trying to educate myself because I've been watching TNA regularly. I got to finish watching Impact from last night, and Sacrifice is on right now for their pay-per-view. But because I've been watching it, I've been seeing wrestlers appear that, like, they're interesting to me, but I don't know nothing about them. So I have to look them up, and I'm like, oh, shit, they spent time in Ring of Honor or New Japan or some of them, WWE. So that's kind of cool. I like that. I love seeing that. Like, is it impossible to see Will Ospreay in WWE? Not at all. If they were smart, he would be in WWE, and he would be himself. No changes, nothing. That would be fucking – it would be good. But
if WWE just decides to basically open up the forbidden door, I mean, WWE needs to basically understand that we need to that we need to work with the businesses. We need to make pro wrestling as a whole. I've said this on the show.
Yeah.
I've said it on your show. I've said it to numerous wrestling fans because, again, I am a fan of pro wrestling. But people don't understand what it means. I mean, you explained it earlier. That means I'm not a WWE fan. I'm not an AEW fan. I'm not a Ring of Honor fan. I'm a pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
That means, yes, I like those companies, but I'm not just on one bandwagon. I love professional wrestling.
Right. Like, I love all of it, man. I even like watching a little bit of NWA. It's hard to get into because it's studio produced, but.
And it's, you know, and it's not the same how it was, you know, back, you know, back during the time, you know, when the Four Horsemen were running around, the, you know, the late American Dream and Magnum TA. I mean, back when it was wrestling. Wrestling.
Which is when I loved it. That's what I,
but, you know.
Introduced me to wrestling, man. I would watch all his tapes from older stuff. I'm talking Smoky Mountain, freaking, what was the other one? GCW. There was a bunch of, well, not GCW, but there was a bunch of, like, older promotions I had never heard of, and they were from that time when he was a kid. So I was watching.
It was GCW, yeah, Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, that's the one. Wait, am I thinking of the same one? I think it's GCW that I'm thinking of. There was a bunch of them. There was
WCW was previously Jim Crockett Promotions, and then I don't know what was before that.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Again, this is like way before we were around, but. Yeah, but wrestling has basically evolved, and look, AEW, I mean, Tony Khan, I mean, see, what people say Tony Khan's just a wrestling fan with nearly unlimited money. I mean, look, Tony Khan makes mistakes. He's not perfect by any means, but he does a lot of stuff wrong. Vince McMahon, see, it seems to me they just want to pick on Tony Khan, but they never want to kind of bring out the fact, all the mistakes that Vince McMahon did.
Well, now they will,
Again, people don't know what it's like to be in Tony Khan's position. I always say, you think Tony Khan can sleep at night because of what he has to go through? I mean, he's not only running AEW. You know, him and his dad, you know, have to run the Jaguars and that football club in London.
The businessman, yeah.
Yeah, they don't sleep at night. Could you imagine?
Well, to touch on what you said about him being just a wrestling fan, I like that. I prefer just a wrestling fan to do my matches more than I do a businessman, because I know I shit on fan bases a lot, but I feel like fans are the ones that have the better ideas because they know what they want to see. It's not like, oh, this is what the fans will like and we're going to say that they like it. You know, I like Tony Khan for that reason, but I also question his judgment. Like, I think I sent you that message the other day when I was at Revolution. I was like, dude, questionable booking with Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
So, right, you know, being on the pre-show, yeah.
Man, that's dumb. That's a questionable. That's where I'm like, Tony Khan, what are you doing? But at the same time, I like a guy who is like picturing it as, these are my wrestling action figures. As a kid, what match do I want to see? That's fucking cool. I like that versus the, oh, this is how much revenue we're getting in off this person and this and that. Like, I get that. You have to make money. But what people fail to understand is AEW is making money. It goes back to what we've said every time we've done an episode. People want to believe something so bad, they want to make sure it's true. They make it true. And it's not true. Again, if you're watching this, just like I said the last few times, AEW is making money. They're a profitable company. See, they're just not making the same money that WWE has been making for 50-plus years.
And Tony Khan, he's brought in a lot of employees that have been in the business for so long. So he works with people that have been in the business.
Yeah.
And he's basically, you know, from, and Tony Khan is, you know, he provides freedom. He lets wrestlers bring in ideas. He doesn't just tell wrestlers what he wants. He's open to listening to other wrestlers. Like the Tony Storm character, I am pretty sure that Tony Storm herself proposed it. And then, you know, they talked about it and said, okay, well, we'll go ahead. Like, I'm telling you, the Tony Storm character, I really like it. Now, I will say this. I do miss her previous character and, you know, her manager, forget her name, you know, came out in that match, you know, as the glamour rock Tony Storm, which I loved. But Tony Khan basically brings in a perspective to where he trusts everybody that he works with, that he brings in. He wants to be, basically, Tony Khan wants this to be a team effort. So he trusts everybody. He encourages people, bring in your ideas. I'll bring mine. We can talk. Tony Khan's doing business. Now, I'm not saying WWE doesn't do business, but Tony Khan does it different. I don't care what Jim Cornette says. I don't care what Eric Bischoff says. I really don't give a shit what all those other people – I mean, it's their opinion like that. I'm not going to bury them for their opinions, but, you know, at the same time, you know, in my case, you know, well, you know what's interesting? People say Eric Bischoff shouldn't say anything because Eric Bischoff's the one that, you know, his company's how that went out with WCW. But then again,
that wasn't his
Bischoff
fault.
Left when the company was going down. But the bottom line is, when people just want to rip AEW and Tony Khan a new one, I'm just kind of like, I just don't feed into it. At least not to an extent, because since I'm mentioning it right now, then I'm obviously fed into it. But, you know.
No, I agree.
Yeah. I agree. Mean, sometimes I do question Tony Khan's decisions, but then again, I mean, you know, it's not like every decision he makes is a disaster. I mean, there's not every card's going to have not every match is going to be good or perfect.
Well, right. And it's like I've been saying, man, it's because it's the smaller company and people don't like it, so they want to believe it's terrible. And that's not.
I mean, if it was once like that, for goodness sake.
Well, that's that WWE is end all be all mindset. It's like, okay, I won't talk to anyone that thinks that WWE is the greatest purely out of I don't watch the other shows because WWE is the best. If you're a guy that likes WWE more but you watch all of wrestling, I will talk to you for sure. But yeah, when you have that mindset that WWE is the end all be all, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to talk to you because you're not educated.
You're not a wrestling fan. You're a WWE fan. You're not a wrestling fan.
Yeah, like you're just a WWE. That's like me trying to say, like, oh, dude, I'm a hard punk rock fan, but I only like Blink-182. There's, like, a ton of fucking bands out there that can compare. Like,
they could be your favorite band. They could be your favorite band, but it can't be the only band you listen to.
Well, it's just that they're the greatest. Like, I say it as a joke. I'm like, because, you know, I try to introduce my kids to them. They're my favorite band of all time, and they always ask me, who is this? Or, like, what are you listening to? I'm like, oh, it's the Beatles if they were good. That's what this is. Like, I just love talking shit and cracking jokes. You know, like, I always say shit like that, or I tell my kids, like, Blink-182 is the Beatles of their era. There we go. But I know I'm full of shit. There's plenty of other bands that are better. I love Blink-182.
Yeah. Go back to Jim Cornette. I mean, Jim Cornette ripping AEW new one. I mean, he that's basically what he does. I mean, Jim Cornette.
Dude that's been fired and quit multiple companies. Like, okay.
Right. Some people really honestly say Jim Cornette doesn't even love pro wrestling anymore. Or some would say, like, yeah, he hasn't loved pro wrestling for a long time because it's not his style. But I always say, you know what, look, I mean, like I said, people who are mad about what Cornette says about what AEW, I'm like, guys, he's giving his cult something to listen to.
Yeah,
that's it. He's just basically pleasing the cult of Cornette. And at the end of the day, look, it's his opinion. He's entitled to it.
That's what Kevin Nash does.
Same thing with Bischoff. I mean, yeah, a lot of people are ripping AEW a new one, and, you know.
Well, it's kind of the popular thing to do. Just like right now, Marvel's moneymaker is popular to hate DC.
It's because they're actually doing things well. That's why they're being ripped a new one, I believe.
I think so.
They want to find reasons to rip them a new one because, look.
Yeah.
But. Now, as we close out, I do want to mention Darby Allin, especially that. I mean, another emotional moment from the last one. And I know we got off topic, but, you know, that's the beauty of talking wrestling. You start out with one subject, you get pulled into another. You see, that's the beauty of pro wrestling podcasting, y'all.
Exactly. I love talking. Like, I have a hard time talking just one wrestler or one event. I like to branch out and just talk about a lot of shit because a lot of it can actually correlate. And, yeah, to go back to what you were saying with AEW, I do think that a lot of people just want to hate it so bad, so when it's doing so good, they find reasons to tear it apart.
Yeah, right?
I mean, even diehard AEW fans do it to WWE. I see it all
the time. And I don't like it, because again, I'm not WWE fan, I'm not an AEW fan, I'm not a Ring of Honor fan, not an Impact Wrestling fan, I'm a pro wrestling fan.
Like, I do believe that every wrestling fan has a promotion that they're in bed with, like one that they're like, it's my go-to. But you're well aware that it's not the end-all be-all because there's plenty of other things. And for me, WWE and AEW are both the companies that I'm in bed with because they're arguably the big two.
Right. But I do care deeply about Ring of Honor. I like Impact Wrestling because I told you, I've never been an Impact Wrestling guy, but don't think I don't hate it. No, I don't dislike Impact Wrestling. I've never had a problem with it. In fact, I just did that episode on Sting. I did a lot of research. I watched Sting's rivalries with Kurt Angle, you know, with Jeff Jarrett in Impact. I did my homework. So with his rivalry with Samoa Joe, with AJ Styles, even though they had 2 1-on-1s, but yeah, Impact Wrestling's done great. They're not perfect, but I like Impact Wrestling. Again, I'm a wrestling fan, but now that we get to Darby Allin, I mean Darby Allin, I'm telling you, first we got to start off with what he did at Revolution. Did you see that spot?
Yeah, with the glass. Yeah.
Oh, my Jonathan Coachman, Jim Cornette, I mean, a lot of people just obviously expressed their displeasure for that stunt. At the end of the day, look, was it safe? No. From what I understand, people in the audience on the front row were allegedly cut from that glass.
Yeah.
Look, this is just Darby Allin's alley. He's a daredevil, for goodness sake. He's a hardcore daredevil.
Well, it goes back to doing your research, too. Like, what company is known for being brutal and more risk-taking? AEW.
And freedom, so, you know, and freedom-wise.
If that's not your cup of tea, maybe don't watch AEW or go to a show. I get why people are worried about that, but, dude, you can tell it's a whole generation of people that have been desensitized to anything that's I use the wrong word, not desensitized. They've been conditioned.
That's the word to use.
With the PG rating, they've been conditioned because we've had that for so long. And that's why, like, you get these whole new generation of kids, they're like, that's not safe. Why are they using chairs? And
when the PG, that damaged pro wrestling's reputation. It damaged it. See, people say when Vince McMahon admitted that it was entertainment and whatnot, that did damage it to an extent, but making it a serious PG crap thing, that damaged professional wrestling. From that point on, WWE was not professional wrestling anymore.
Yeah, and there's kids that grew up watching that. They're adults now that think that that's what wrestling's all about. And I'm like, man, you need to go back to before 2008.
It's our mission to educate them. I mean, there's some wrestling fans I know that grew up with that. I'm like, dude, no. What you saw, that's not I hate to be that guy. That's not pro wrestling, dude. That's not pro wrestling. And then when I encourage them to go back and watch those matches on Peacock, they come back to me and say, my God, you were right. What have they done? I'm like, dude, what have they done? Yeah, they ruined pro wrestling by making it PG.
Right. Growing up as a kid, dude, my stepdad would change the channel between Monday Night Raw and Monday Nitro. And I can tell you, dude, almost every Monday there was at least a chair involved. Somebody was bleeding. There was some sort of hardcore. It was a common thing to see.
To the point, the Attitude Era, for God's sake.
Yeah, and it was to the point where people were getting annoyed with it. I love it because I'm one of those guys that I'm like, dude, I love like the death matches and I love the ECW style. I love the hardcore shit because it's way cooler, dude. Like, I have nothing against traditional standard wrestling matches. Those are cool too. Some of the best ones are those. But I love the blood and the chairs, the barbed wire, the glass. I love when these guys take risks. It sucks.
You like to adapt to the evolution.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's the coolest shit ever. Darby Allin is one of my all-time favorites.
I mean,
I have a Darby Allin shirt.
I need to. I need some. I need. If they're selling the Sting T-shirts, like the pink shirt with the scorpion, I need to get that. I'm telling you, Darby Allin. I'm ashamed to admit that before AEW, I didn't even know who the heck he was. Because you know, and when Jim Cornette, of course, said what he said, he describes Darby Allin as just another jerk off that Tony Khan pulled out of the Indies. I mean, there you go once again, Cornette. You know,
that's Cornette for you. Though, yeah.
Cornette just you know, again feeding his constant bullshit to his cult. Again, that's what he does. Although he does tell good stories, I'll give Jim Cornette that. He does tell good stories.
I listen to him religiously.
Yeah, I do listen to his show once in a while, you know, every now and then, but.
He's just when he talks a lot. That's all, you know.
He's just too negative. But then again, you know, he's just feeding his cult, and of course paying his bills. But look, what Darby Allin did. Look, I'll be honest with you. If they decided not to do that spot, I would have fully understood. But dude, I gotta tell you, that way the glass exploded. It was loud, man. And
well,
Darby Allin's back, holy.
There. I mean, let's talk about the fact that he left us with a little encrypted note about dying on Mount Everest. That makes you wonder, is he going to kill himself or what? Like,
because
people don't come back? Or
you can't put the word fear in the same sentence as Darby Allin. This man doesn't even know fear. I mean,
I
remind everybody, what did Darby Allin experience when he was 5 years old?
Yeah.
You think seeing that as a five-year-old kid, you really think him diving off a 20-foot ladder on a glass is going to scare him? You really trying to climb Mount Everest is going to scare him? Skateboarding down a ramp and then giving a flying clothesline to Jericho is going to stop him?
It took me a while to grow onto him, too, dude, because when he first came out, I was like, oh, who the fuck is this? And, like, I saw the skinny jeans, and I was like, God, that's got to go. But I still think.
Yeah. I had to be invested in him, and I'm glad I did. And I'm telling you, Darby Allin's one of my favorite wrestlers in my adult life as a wrestling fan. I mean, the coffin drop, I mean, Darby Allin's done so many crazy stuff, and I'm pretty sure he would say he would do it. He would do it again. He's probably going to do it again.
Well, I love his attitude, too. I love that he knows he's in the right place. Because, let's be honest, he really can't be that character in WWE. He'd have to tone it down.
And he was offered – well, here's something interesting. WWE offered to sign him, but if we all know, if he went to WWE, not only would he not be doing any of that stuff, he'd just be a jobber.
Right.
And that's and to think of what Darby Allin has done since arriving in AEW, to make him a jobber, that's despicable.
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, and Tony Khan's obviously getting ripped a new one for this because Tony Khan allowed it, but I kind of feel like if Darby Allin makes a request, I'd be tempted not to turn it down because I feel like turning down something when if it was done, it would have made an impact. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I like risk takers though, man.
At the same time, but
and I have mad respect for Tony Khan for looking at his talent and going, if that's what you want to do, I support.
Fine, but
yeah, because dude, you can't tell me these fuckers aren't signing NDAs and shit like.
Or,
like, they're well aware of what they're doing.
Well, you remember when Moxley delivered delivered that DDT to Omega on a glass table on the first night of AEW Dynamite?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything about that.
Like, here's my thing, man. WWE has had some pretty good storylines. The last year, not so much, in my opinion. I was shocked that it won a bunch of awards. I was like, man, they're booking this last year's been shit. But they've had great stories these last few years, whereas AEW has lacked them, but AEW, dude, has had the better matches. Every year when I do a side-by-side, like who versus what, you know, AEW always ends up taking the top five greatest matches. I haven't seen a WWE match in years, man, that I would call legendary. Well, no, I take that back.
Well,
I gotta say.
Rollins and Rhodes in the Hell in a Cell match, I think, was.
Me, personally, last year at WrestleMania, Gunther, McIntyre, and Sheamus, that was a phenomenal match.
That was
way better than Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Like, that was, because I wanted to see that match. And I want to see it again. That's a match that I think would benefit being 45 minutes to an hour. It would make total sense of all the people that are involved. But I felt that the McIntyre, Sheamus, and Gunther match was the one that killed it. That was match of the year for WWE, for me. I was like, damn, that was a good fucking match. But, yeah, Rollins and Rhodes was a fucking good one, too. I mean, that's kind of – because I've always been, like, a Cody Rhodes fan when I heard his story after he left WWE. Because I remember seeing him in WWE, and I didn't watch wrestling at that time. It's kind of fed up with WWE. I didn't know about AEW or any of that stuff. They weren't around yet. I would watch it, though, and see, like, little specks of Cody Rhodes. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I'd find out. Dustin Rhodes' kid. And I was like, okay, cool. Didn't care for his character. I thought he was kind of lame. And then he left and went to go do AEW. And I was like, oh, shit, that same dude. I watched him. And I was like, yeah, this guy right here. Now, that's a better character. Loved him all the way through fucking AEW, dude. He goes to WWE and still loved him. But for me, the moment that solidified, like, I'm a diehard Cody Rhodes fan was the Hell in a Cell match. How many wrestlers can you name that are like, fuck it, I know I'm hurt, but the show has to go on. I can't just rob these people of their money. I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm fucking full sell. And, you know, I heard a fan talking on I don't know if you listen to the Busted Open podcast.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I listen to it like once a week.
I'm too busy listening to your show and several other shows that are actually loyal to me.
Oh, dude, I got like 25.
I understand that those guys, they probably don't have time to listen to mine, but I do listen to Busted Open. I do listen to Jim Cornette's shows, to Eric Bischoff's. I mean, I listen to all of them once in a while. I listen to Jericho's more than anybody.
Yeah, me too. I love it.
I do listen to Renee Paquette's, the sessions. I do listen to that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring it up is because they did an episode where they were talking about the backlash that The Rock got and the whole Cody Crybaby thing. Well, they had a guest on, like, calling, you know, from his phone, and he was like, yeah, I just wanted to say I was there last night, and I saw that the fans were pissed the entire time chanting, "We want Cody," and you didn't see it on TV because they blocked it out. But I'm one of those fans that took videos of what was really going on. And he was like, "Let me tell you guys my story. I drove from another state just to see Cody Rhodes." And they were like, "What? You went all that?" And he's like, "I was a big wrestling fan as a kid, and then I stopped watching it for a long time. Cody Rhodes gave me back my passion for wrestling." And I liked when he said that, because I was like, that's how I feel. He, when I look at him, dude, I literally think Hulk Hogan, The Rock, John Cena. I see that in him. I'm like, dude, yeah, he is the next, arguably the next Hulk Hogan, John Cena, Rock, whatever. I see that in him. And I'm like, dude, he's the spitting image of a traditional wrestler. Makes
right.
sense. Who his dad is, you know? So I fell in love with that right away. I was like, that's how I feel about it. Cody Rhodes is kind of, he was one of the only reasons I was actively tuning into WWE, because I got so fed up with the Roman Reigns storyline. It was cool at first because I was one of those guys that I was like, Roman Reigns, shit, he sucks. And then he did the tribal trade thing, and I was like, okay, that's cool. But a year goes by, it's getting stale. 2 years go by, okay, it's time to change this shit up. 3 years go by, I'm done. I'm not invested in this guy anymore. Three and a half
One,
years.
One, two, three strikes are out.
Yeah, dude, and it's still going. It's to the point where if it wasn't for this whole Cody and Rock thing, before that, dude, I was watching nothing that had to do with Roman Reigns. Because
right.
I already knew how it was going to end. I already knew who the fucking opponent would be. I knew who was going to be at the ring. I knew what pay-per-view it was going to be at. So I'm like, yeah, I tune out. Even if it pains me to say this, but even when it was LA Knight, who I love, I still did not watch that match. I just waited for the recap.
I just basically followed through, like, you know, the storyline with the Judgment Day, the Imperium. I mean, that's, I love all that, but it's just not good enough for me to, I want to watch it weekly. And
right. After, like, I have to, I DVR all these fucking shows, man, because not one of them really is worth sitting through and watching each match.
And I hate, I mean, look, Roman Reigns never, I mean, people say he just never quite fully fit in, because, see, at first, when people did not like him, you know, as a face, and then he turns heel, and then, like, it seems like nothing works. And some people say that the only reason why the bloodline story is so relevant is because the Paul Heyman's in it.
Yeah.
Okay, look, the Usos are great. The Usos are great. But, and this is embarrassing. You know what my favorite memory of Roman Reigns is in wrestling? And this is embarrassing, but you know what it is?
Which one?
When he punched Baron Corbin right in the face. When Kurt Angle was still the on-screen manager. Like, remember when that segment, yeah, when Roman was kicked out of the building, he's like walking out, he turns around, looks at Kurt, looks at Corbin, Corbin smiles, and then he pops him right in the face. That, I mean.
My personal favorite Roman Reigns moment was when he went after McIntyre and Shane McMahon a couple of years ago, when he was the big dog and Drew was the Scottish psychopath, and he goes after him backstage and he chases him all over the ring. It was the SmackDown before Survivor Series that year. And he goes to the ring, and before the show ends, he's like, "Yo, Shane, tell that bitch I'll see him on Sunday." And it ends, and I was like, yes, I can't wait to see this match.
Yeah.
That was a good
one. But it's embarrassing that, for me, that's my favorite Roman Reigns moment, because, again, you think about the matches that he had. I mean, I think the track record of him having bad matches is higher than the ones good. I mean,
yes.
WrestleMania 34 with Brock Lesnar. That, I mean, that's when Brock Lesnar, of course, threw the title at Vince when he got through the curtain.
Well, they gave him the Hulk Hogan and John Cena treatment. He doesn't know how to wrestle. They just put the flair on him and went, this is the guy. He's a good, and you know, he's a good mic person, but I don't even think he's good on the mic, to be honest with you. To me, I just see The Rock, basically. I'm like, that's The Rock without the charismatic slogans and shit.
I mean,
but
again, I hate being that guy, but if we're just being honest, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. Some people probably go on their show and say, well, Alex Oxcast is the worst podcaster ever. He doesn't know how to talk. He doesn't know how to make good content.
I get one of those every fucking day.
I mean, I get that. I mean, I know that I'm good at what I do because I keep doing it.
Well, I don't let them I don't let them talk me out of it, man, because I couldn't. We're a podcast where it's very clear that we're conservatives. So
right.
That already sanctioned us from having any mouthpiece. But honestly, man, because of that, I couldn't tell you how much hate shit I get every fucking day. And I'm like, yeah, most of the time I don't even read it anymore, to the point where I actually unfortunately skip over the good stuff too, and then I go back, I'm like, oh fuck, this person was being nice, god damn it. And like, it becomes a habit though, because yeah, you get, and it's not just you or me, man, it's, I think it's anybody that's starting out and they're not Joe Rogan, because a lot of people listen to podcasts expecting that,
right?
And that, like, some of us are new or some of us are intermediate, but that's the beauty of finding someone, you grow with them. Like, dude, perfect example, he's not a podcaster, but YouTube, a YouTuber by the name of Cody Leach, love his shit. If you watch the very first couple of years of his episodes to now, you see the progression. You see, like, yes, he started this in an empty room and it looks terrible, but he's good at what he does, so I'm gonna like it. And then the years go on and you watch it now and you're like, this motherfucker is making Hollywood content. That's what I love about finding these people.
That's
that,
cool.
Yeah, it's like
I'm entering my fourth year of podcasting, y'all.
We are too. Well, yeah, about four, almost five.
And I've not made a good living. I've made some money, but the bills taken away. But I've not made a living, really. And you know what? And I say it like this: if somebody has to go on their podcast, and if all they have to say is that Alex Alcazaz, the Bear of Texas, is the worst podcaster of all time, if they have to go on their show and say that, then that means that then we know who's really the awful guy. If you have to go on your show just to say shit like that, just to whatever, well then, yeah, dead giveaway right there.
Well, I try hard not to bash other people.
It's just interesting. They care more about my show than theirs.
That's all it is. It's, everyone has their own agenda, their own cup of tea. So, I mean, some people don't like us, but there's some that do. I've learned this the hard way. Your work isn't going to be for everybody, but there's always someone that's going to like that cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Always someone that's going to like. We had a guy that liked us from day one. Like, the first year we were doing this shit, this guy was Team Great Gers. He's a dude from Canada. Shout out to Ryan J. Sharp. He is arguably our number one fan because he's been there ever since. And even at the beginning, I was like, this is so weird. Our show sucks. Like, the quality's bad. But he loves it. He listens to it. And to this day, he still actively supports us. I'm like, dude, that's somebody that's worth holding on to, shouting out, giving them praise, because they're doing that for us. That's a guy that I never would imagine that he likes our content. But, you know, I've gotten to talk to him, and he's a normal person like the rest of us. He's like, yeah, dude, I'm just a fucking person. I mean, he's got his political beliefs. I got mine, whatever, you know, like, I honestly don't even know his political beliefs. We haven't gotten that far into it. But I know that he's a person that probably doesn't agree with a lot of stuff that I agree with or disagree with. The problem is, though, is everyone has an agenda. And they're going to bring that on to something they don't like, when they could simply just do something that's so easy to do. Fucking go to another podcast. It's like I've been saying, dude, in the last few episodes we've done, I understand there are standards and practices. I understand that there are rules we need to follow in order to make this work. This is a world that we are trying to live in, but we have to adapt to how they want us to. I'm not doing that. This is my answer. It is my show. This is my content. I created it. It's mine. I decide what I do with it, what I say, what I'm going to say, when I want to say it, and how I say it. It's mine. So I don't care if you like that or not.
That's the way I feel it. Because I've had wrestling fans, because I know we got off topic, but I've had wrestling fans literally say, you don't know wrestling. You're kissing Tony Khan's butt. I'm like,
yeah, same old shit. I've heard that, though.
Like, really? That's all you got to say? I mean,
yeah.
And you know, they didn't even listen to the whole episode. Here's an advice for y'all out there. If you're going to critique, you might as well listen to the whole thing first instead of listening to only 2 minutes or not even listen to 10% of the episode. See, I've had wrestling fans so polite. They listen to the whole thing. They keep listening to my show. They say, well, Alex, even though I have disagreements, I still love the fact that you love what you do. And that is right there is the ultimate, you know, that's my goal, to make a living, but to give people certain perspectives. Like, again, I'm not a WWE fan, not a Ring of Honor fan. I'm not a fan of one particular promotion. I'm a fan of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I have to keep repeating it because a lot of people just don't get it. They just don't get it.
That's because you can tell that they're WWE fans. typically.
Right. I mean, I don't hate WWE. I mean, I have WWE shirts. I mean, I've got some WWE memorabilia.
It's those, I guess I wouldn't even call it WWE fans. They're the,
look at this.
They're WWE only guys.
Jim Ross's book.
Yeah. Love Jim Ross. Jim Ross and Jerry the King, that's my commentator. I prefer them.
Look at this. See? Would I be a WWE fan when I have this Legion? Look at that. An authentic right. Legion of Doom card.
Badass. I haven't heard of Doom. But,
unfortunately, we have come to that time. Tony, first of all, again, thank you. But before I let you go, you want to remind everybody where they can find you and your show, sir?
Yes, sir. I am one half of your favorite fat duo. That is the Great Girth Podcast. You can find us on YouTube. That's at Great Girth Podcast. We're on Rumble as well, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, you name it. If you want to like and subscribe to that channel, that would be nice. If you want to follow us on IG, TikTok, well, you name it, we're pretty much everywhere except Twitter, because I'm not paying for that shit. otherwise, Alex, thank you, man, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always an honor and a reminder that you can find Ringside Chaos anywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe, hit the notification bell, because, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be sure, Tony wants to be sure, that you won't be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. And yes, I strongly, strongly recommend you check out his show. Here's a warning. If you're easily offended, well, you've been warned.
Right.
Tony, thank you again. I can't wait to do this again, sir.
See you on the next one.
See y'all later.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.